powers that play in Acts 23 and 24, the powers that will always be milling about, the persuasions pressing in upon us, and the voices that rule and reign in our hearts. My goodness, is power present. Productive Holy Spirit power and counterproductive people power. Today in Acts, Paul continues walking through martyrdom as we witness in his drama prestige, the power and passion, persuasion, and just where and what do right priorities look upon in all that overtakes us in this life. Power plays, powers at play. Tell me these Acts 23 Sadducees don't have deep passion for God, willing to lose their life on a hunger fast with a power in numbers of 40 and then coming together, impressive, to accomplish God's will. So they declare this is God's will. And they're taking this dead serious. It's him or us. Does this sound familiar? We also see the deep passion of Rome. In response to their 40, together 200 soldiers, 70 horses, 200 spearsmen, to show who's really in charge. Who will take life, who will make the decisions, who will issue the judgments. No Roman citizen will be touched without their okay. They're passionate about their people and their power too. We also see Paul. He plays the family card. To his benefit, both as Roman citizen and as a Pharisee. And those families certainly are willing to push when shoved. In fact, they'll just push to push, honestly. And to conclude chapter 24, we see the fluid ways of Felix, who has used his persuasiveness to steal his wife, a descendant of Herod, from the second husband. Felix, in fact, is not a kind man. He's ruthless and he's murderous. Regardless of how our introduction from Tertullus, the lawyer, presents to make way and sway in the court case against Paul. And we see also how Felix is well acquainted with the way of Jesus and how he uses this in every other relationship to his advantage. Procrastination of judgment, holding the tensions of Paul's trial and position and those raging against him. And he calls secret meetings for 2 years, expecting Paul to take the bait and the bribe that's unspoken until he fades from leadership and conveniently leaves Paul still in custody to hand it over to the next ruler. One site says, look how patient God is with each of us. Felix has regular meetings with Paul, wanting to hear and listen and be challenged and not liking the challenge he hears about the way. Even though he doesn't seem to turn from his way of using people in position to the true way, God gave Felix years to hear and listen through his patterns and his agendas. And so for us today, where are our power? We can buy protection and security pretty easily and safety. Or can we round up 70 horses like the Romans? A couple dollars and we own a car. Takes us anywhere. We can execute our will, go where we want, when we want. And we're in a church of 100 people. Do you think we have a little power with those numbers? Absolutely. Do we have power in this country? Yes. As Christians in this country, you bet, both with our rights and also the flip, how our rights are being trampled upon. Power both as the strong and the weak. Pretty clever. How do we use, or are we used, by the powers and pressures of our friends and our jobs and our families? And his call in each of our power plays is to be purely inspired by the power of the Spirit and our listening to and submitting to the Father's will being accomplished in our lives. What would we refuse water and food for, like the Sadducees? So passionate, we wouldn't eat for a day or two. Would we risk our very lives on anything to set it right? Paul's rebuttal to his charges gives us just the facts. I was there just 12 days. I followed the laws. I was paying alms to the poor. I didn't create this riot. Yeah, maybe I did profess the biggest complaint. I professed the resurrection. I did blurt it out, kind of like the other day when I called the high priest a whitewashed tomb. Not too much goes well when we start blurting, I admit. Paul continues, and the Jews from Asia create deep trouble with this rumor based on Acts 21, seeing Trophimus assume that I was creating trouble. And they've conveniently chosen not to come here and defend a very clear false accusation. Paul says, my conscience is clear. Judge away. The very Father who represents you, who you represent, is judging you as leaders in this day, just like every day. You even know what you're saying and doing. You don't, and you should repent. As we enter the dark corners of true life and true sacrifice in Acts today, we see a fresh example of these same disciples who misunderstood, refused, and abandoned Jesus' way into Christ's physical death. We now see them put on trial again and again, like our Lord Jesus, and now being faithful with their life into physical death. And how God continues to be with these rejuvenated, spirit-filled disciples in the ancient lands, but also ideally into the here and now, today, in this generation, and every generation to come. Court's in session. Salvation has been revealed. Heaven has come to earth. His kingdom is alive in the here and now. As happens to Jesus and the disciples then, can the powers at play today, the appointed leaders, family, friends of today, present any and all evidence to defame you and I? We who are the living body of Christ, present and accounted for, they can, and they will. They'll create doubt aplenty. In the eyes of the court, of popular opinions of the world, the church, and family and friends today, amen, this too shall be. So relentless is humanity's denial and deviousness and accusations that we all too often create deep doubt within our own souls. Just like Sadducees and Pharisees and Romanies and Asian Jews had attempted and insisted upon with Paul. And, you know, we'll be honest. We do have to readily acknowledge there will be plenty of evidence to the contrary of the Holy Spirit's presence in us because we're sinners. We, those who want to claim being disciples of the way of Jesus in 2016, is there any evidence? Holy Spirit baptism by fire in our lives and actions? Forget the words. Words too easy and too often hollow. And when and if we claim boldly that we have honored the way with the help of God, with a clear conscience from the beginning or at least in recent years, as Paul professes in man-made courts of judgment, false witnessing about you and yours will arise. There will be little earthly peace of mind. Only God issued pieces of true peace, which is enough, even if we do not see enough earthly peace in our present struggles. God's peace is steadily revealed in the multitude of anxieties that stir within each of our souls. We learn to welcome the barrage of anxieties cast upon us. Again, it's well with our soul. Boy, does it take practice to calm ourselves in our internal uncertainties combined with accusations, which, like Paul, will range from dead-on accurate to absolutely unfounded and ludicrous. Our well continues to overflow in the midst of chaos and confusion. In our heads, and unfortunately out of our heads, will rain down endless accusations and judgments and convictions. Think about your experiences. Our experiences and relationships to date. As we will be daily accused, we will willingly surrender to these accusations and judgments and daily deaths. We'll be raised again. We most certainly cannot be slave to both the world and man and the true God. So let the verdicts of each ring out loud. They're going to anyways. We see Matthew 10's advice of the counselor, we don't fear. You will be dragged into court and judged. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. And in 1 Peter 3, we're advocated to always be ready to give account of our faith. How? Jesus, Paul, the disciples spent their life in study and deep devotion. Let's do likewise. Look at how today's walk mirrors Jesus. As Jesus gets judged and convicted, it's by men visibly and the Father invisibly. And Jesus creating such a stir as to get himself flung out of the churches into the courts of the world, as Pastor highlights, the trial of Jesus is anything but what it seems, as he hears, listens, submits, does the will of the only one that matters, the Father. The judgment of the church and the world, the disciples of Jesus, is in fact a real, humble, heartbreaking court case at hand for them, for us to get our minds and hearts and mouths that are in the world shaken awake, convicted, ripped wide open, so we see the duality of our heart when we choose to hold on to and worship impurely and too quickly, busily distracting ourselves, accusing others. So Paul's living has him encountered the same power and prestige of church, and he is judged guilty. And the power and prestige of the world in Rome protects and pretends and procrastinates and prolongs his judgment of guilty until off with his head when it's more convenient at another time. And Paul professes that any man-made courtroom, just like what was done to Christ, they can accuse, falsely accuse, and judge all they want. It's utterly meaningless. And he, and we, and all who obey the way will rest in the peace of our God. Even if there is little earthly peace, as the world and church and disciples refuse the way, use the way, confuse the way of Christ, we have but one judge. And he's silently present. We're united with him through Christ and Counselor as we hear his will and edicts alone. And we listen to them and submit to them and take this true life plea bargain with real fear and trembling and thanksgiving and praise. We're on our knees and we beg for your mercy. Today is this day like the thief on the cross. And if you think about this, if we're honest, we might feel like he got off easy. On this day of judgment seat awareness, he only had a few breaths and then death. We're more like the Felix, years of being called to fully follow and obey. Romans 2 states, God's kindness is to get us to wake up to repentance. His law is already written on each and every heart and mind. Jesus says, today, you're with me in paradise. I've taken the bitter wine of the sponge and tasted it. I have gone so the comforter and advocate can return to better remind you and refresh you that today you are in paradise. You with me and I with you. As the world and the church and disciples often muddle and meddle, you, Paul, and St. Luke's Lutheran, are subpoenaed as well. Who do you and your life say that I am? Let's not be deterred by the anger and the accusations within and without, through doubts and frustrations. Be aware of the subtle softening or the all-out assault of God's will by man. And be aware of the sleek, subtle, unstated bribery like Felix lives, as he mixes the message for his own gain into others' detriment. Hear ye, the honorable Father, the one Jesus gives the right attention and affection to. The one Father, the only one who has any legitimate judging business to conduct. He's present and he presides. And how do we plead? Guilty and being redeemed with our very life and breath, body and blood. Lord, you are all we have. You've given us way more than we've ever needed or deserved. Our very lives are in your hands. Why would we want to be seduced into spending our life thinking or living anything less